This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, final hour of our Monday. It's Brock and Salk here on 710 ESPN Seattle. We are 30 minutes away from the Pete Carroll Show. And obviously, Brock, we got a lot to get to with Pete. Of course, we'll be talking about the game that was played yesterday. It was an interesting one. Good to see the Seahawks get back in the win column. They did it their way. Pete used the word formula after the game. It's funny. I just written those words to you, and then I'm watching, and Pete says formula. But you did see the formula, right? They did all those things that they're capable of. They forced more turnovers. They ran the ball more than they passed it. They were the better team on third down, both offensively and defensively. They had the better pass rush. They were the team that slowed down the Dallas. Like, they did it all, man. That's a really good team win.
And we did it our way. Isn't there a song like that? Yeah.
So we did it my way.
There you go. Yeah. Yep, and that's Pete's way. And its formula is 53 or more. Right? Running attempts and completions. Who sang that one?
That would be Frank Sinatra.
There you go. That's exactly
Elvis
right.
Elvis does a pretty good version of himself.
Sure does. For some reason, I thought that was a Neil Diamond, but I didn't want to go there
and
totally screw that thing up.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it was. It was their formula. It was their way. And yet, so much of the conversation, and I think we fought this for 2 hours, right? We're not going to talk about it. Let's talk about the defense. Talk about the run games. Talk about a win. Let's not talk about Earl. But Earl is so unbelievably fascinating.
All right, what do you want to do?
I don't want to pay him. Mina Kimes last night tweets, if you're a Seahawks fan and you don't think this team should extend Earl Thomas out after how he's played through week three, I don't know what to tell you. That's my own inflection with Mina's tweet there, which I'm sure was much sweeter and nicer than that. But here's what I will tell you, Mina, and I will tell any of you, and I will tell the nearly 60% of you that have voted in Salk's poll saying pay him. I'll tell you four things. Number one, Earl's asking for silly money. How do I know that? I know that because I've listened to the last 10 months of Earl. Earl doesn't want one penny less than the top safety, and he thinks he's the greatest of all time. So I don't think he's reasonable, and I'm not paying silly money. Number two, I think Cam, Sherm especially, who's carted off the field yesterday, Bennett, Averill, show you that players, unfortunately, and especially those that have sacrificed so much here over the last 6, 7, 8, 9 years as Earl has, that the health decline would be a very real scare for me, and I'm not paying him during the season. Number three, Earl is a Rule one, repeat violator. Earl is not about protecting the team. Earl is about protecting him and making sure he's 100.
What are you talking about?
Huh?
Why would you say that? I mean, he only said specifically that that's why he's not practicing. Play for me.
Yeah, I need to make sure my body is, 100. And I'm investing in myself. Now, if they was investing in me, I'll be out there practicing. But if I feel like anything, I don't give a damn if it's small, I got a headache, I'm not practicing. But I don't want that to be taken the wrong way. I know I'm going to get fined. But that's just where I'm at with that.
And what about practice? Hey, like Allen Iverson was
saying. We're talking about practice, man.
What about practice, Earl? Is practice a big deal?
This is the age-old conversation, Brock, and that's why. I mean, 206-421-3776. Yes, Earl does sort of have some odd thoughts on practice itself.
Yeah, you got that other cut on practice, Big Kyle?
Practice is a big deal. Practice is a big deal. In my younger days, like, it made me who I am. I always practice hard, but I understand now, like, especially I'm going to be careful myself.
This is about himself.
This is about these classic conversations that we've had in sports forever. Is it about attitude and chemistry, or is it about talent?
Mm-hmm.
Do you let Allen Iverson or Earl Thomas, who are immensely talented, do you let them play by their own rules, or does that set such a bad example for the rest of your team that you simply can't have it?
Yeah, I can't have it.
The thing is that this conversation, hold on, is about more than that. That's one part of the Earl conversation. That dictates how you want to handle it if you just want him to play things out here for the rest of the year. But the other side of it is whether or not you pay him or trade him. And that's about past and current production versus the future and risk.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where you start to lose me when you start talking about paying him. This isn't about what he produces right now. It's not even about what he's produced in the past. It's about the future and about risk management. And in their view, there is an enormous risk in paying a guy who looks and acts like Earl Thomas and plays like him and has had some of the injuries he's had, given some of the other mistakes that they've made with third contracts. And maybe if they hadn't paid Cam and been hurt by it, they'd be more willing to pay Earl. And maybe if they hadn't paid Michael Bennett, Richard Sherman, and Cliff Averill and been burned by all three, then maybe they'd be willing to pay Earl. But they don't want to make him the fifth guy they give a third contract to when the first four haven't worked out. And I don't think they're going to pay KJ Wright. It sure seems like he's had some kind of a setback with his knee, Brock. I don't think they want to be in the business of giving out these third contracts to anybody who is not a quarterback or a complete difference from everyone else in the world. I don't think it's going to happen. This is about the future and risk management, and it doesn't mean that you can't get burned by it. You can look at it and say there's an 80% chance that this thing is a bad deal. That means there's a 20% chance that whoever signs him gets him and gets him really, really good, a good player for a long time. But that doesn't make it the smart risk management play, and I think that's why they are not going to pay him and why they are not going to make this about his past or even current production.
You don't think you can find another Earl? Is there no other Earl that you're going to find and grow and develop? Is there no other Cam that you're going to find and grow and develop? Or Marshawn, go through this list. Like, if you're in the business and you're in this building and you don't think you can find that next guy, then you shouldn't be here. You shouldn't be here. And I think Bradley McDougald is showing you he's outplayed Earl Thomas. He's played tremendous. He's played against the run. He's played against the pass, played around the line of scrimmage. Actually, he made his picks. You know, they weren't just tipped to him. He made all three of his in very significant ways and punched the fumble out yesterday.
Can you continue to do this, though, with Earl? So really, if you
ask me... No, I send him home this week, okay? I talk to him today and say, Earl, we're not going to make a bigger story of this. I can't have you in and out. There's nothing in life that's good in between, okay? I don't have an in-between marriage. I am all in on my marriage. I'm all in as a parent. There's nothing I'm going to do in my life that
but
is in between.
He's going to say back, you're not all in.
I am all in. You've got a contract paying you $8.5 million, and do you enjoy collecting $500,000 a week? Do you enjoy this? I think you do. So you're either all in, and we'll have you in this building and love it, and
but
you can keep
doing
it.
Do you want to be in that kind of a fight with your best player?
He's not there.
With one of your best players.
Bobby is your best player, and Russell's your best player.
Brock, he's one of your
best players. If we've got to do this, Mike, in a reset of our culture and our program, what are we doing? Are we resetting our culture and our program, or are we going back to just playing to the Marshawn and play into these guys that can go about doing it the way they want to do it?
Yourself long term. If you're not trading them and you're not playing them, what? You're just having them around? You're not maximizing value. 206-421-3776. I want to open it up to you guys, too, because it's not just pay them, play them, or trade them. There's this new wrinkle that he's introduced here. Because right now, I'm actually on the just play them point. Like, just let's play this. At this point, just play it out. And at the end of the year, if you want to franchise them for the next 2 years, fine. Mm-hmm. And each year you make a decision, and the cap is actually pretty reasonable for a safety.
As for Sundays,
but
I get it.
But he's forcing your hands and saying you can't do that.
Yeah, he is. And do you want to be put in that position? Do you want to be put in that position all during the week? Is he going to practice? You want to do that to Tedrick and the rest of your team, too? Like, that is what else he's doing to the team. Is, hey, am I getting these guys ready to play? Is Tedrick getting ready to play come Sunday? Right down in Arizona, am I going to get ready to play? Mm-hmm. Oh, and do I not? I don't have to practice Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then all of a sudden, I just get to show up on Sunday and be in the lineup? Mm-hmm. Like, it is, you know, this last week, I think, much like Earl showing up, was like, wow, where did this come from? I think a sit-in, as he's doing right now.
We got 20 minutes before we talk to Pete Carroll about
hold
this.
In?
Pete's obviously been talking about it quite a bit and trying to figure this out. So 20 minutes, Pete Carroll joins us. We'll grab some of your calls here next. What do you do? I'm almost at a point where I say, I don't care. Just do whatever the heck you want. But just like, this can't continue to be a distraction nonstop.
Distraction? They played their best game of the season.
Maybe it can be a distraction. Maybe it doesn't matter what you do with Earl. It's Brock and Salk. We'll be right back.
We're talking about practice, man.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio,
this is Brock and Salk.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com.
Well, we threw out the poll. 60% of you say, pay the man his money. Pay Earl. Pay him what he wants. Just get him here and let him be great for the rest of his time here. And I don't know, man. I don't think you can do that. I don't think that's the one option that would be off the table for me. I'd be okay with trading him. I'd be okay with sending him home. I might even be okay with allowing him to not practice and just come out and play in the games because you control the cards. You can always franchise tag him next year at reasonable money. But I don't think you can pay him. I don't think you can commit to yet another.
Pay that man his money.
Yeah, I don't think so. Sorry, Teddy KGB. I don't think you can just pay this man his money. I don't think it works that way.
I don't either, and I don't think they will. I don't think there's any, you know, you just can't be emotionally held hostage. You just can't. And as a fan, I totally get it, and I would probably have predicted the numbers gone that way. Right? As a fan, all you get are those 60 minutes, those 3 hours on Sunday, and you see Earl flying around, you see him making a few plays here and there, and I think as a fan, you definitely, you know, can fall into that emotional. Pay him. You got money, you can find money other places. This is one of the greats to ever do it. But I think in the business world, they always say you got to separate your emotion from your business plan, and the business plan must play out this year, Earl, and then we can all evaluate it after this season.
Let's see where some of these callers are at. EC is on line four in Seattle. Good morning, EC.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, personally, I taking off my fan hat. Obviously, I would love to have Earl finish his career in Seattle, but I'm definitely not interested in paying him 15, 16, whatever he's looking for, $1 million a year for any type of long term. But just trying to change my perspective about it. I'm not mad if he's not practicing during the week necessarily. Maybe that's an opportunity for the young guys to get a chance to practice with the first team and prepare like they're going to go out there and play in case they need to be ready to go. But I think the guy has been proven, and he showed, and this is really, he's not going to go put a bad product out there either. I mean, he knows that he's playing for another deal, so when he goes to play on Sunday, I think he's giving it his all.
That's an interesting take, man. Yeah. I'll give you that one. That's a good positive spin on it. You're giving Tedrick some of those reps, Delano Hill, some of those reps in practice, and maybe that's a good
thing. What'd you say last week? Got all fired up on Thursday or Friday about some. What did you say? What was the topic? You got all...
Me?
Yeah, you got all close to Doug Baldwin-esque. Not necessarily ramped up on the air.
To compare the Judge them on their past?
No. It was something along the lines of, see, you can't have it this way. All right, for all of you that say practice ain't a big deal, right? Oh, the off season and everything else, you just is practice matter. Do those 3 days of work, right? Your whole work week and all your plan going into a game, does it matter leading into Sunday? Or do you just say, I'll just show up Sunday, man. I can make the shots. I can hit that golf shot. I can make that throw.
You know what it was? It was the guy from Nebraska who had the great quotes. All
Tanner
about
Farmer.
How important it is to work. And everyone's like, I love this. This is great. Yep. But what about when your players don't want to do any of it? That's fine. Totally cool. Don't care. That's not even mandatory.
What if they don't care one lick about your program or one lick about your team or one lick about anything, and all they care about is being 100 for them in their final payday? What then?
It's an awkward place.
I mean, as long as he gets a couple plays a game, a couple picks a game, and the ball finds him, is that it? We just kind of wash our hands
and
say.
And as long as Ezekiel Elliott's foot isn't 6 inches out of bounds when Earl, for whatever reason, ran away from him and lost coverage, then yeah, he's playing great. Let's grab Rick, who's in D.C. on line three. Good morning.
Hello, guys.
Hello, Rick.
I say you got to rip the Band-Aid off.
And?
I say you got to trade him. You got to get something in return.
All right. Appreciate the phone call. Let's grab Scott on line two in Renton. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, good morning. The caller who said he's okay with him not practicing, I totally disagree with that. It's just too slippery of a slope. So first we let Earl not practice, and then next year, then what? Anybody who's starting gets to just dial it in,
yep.
And then like 3 seasons from now, it's just the rookie that have to practice. I mean, we're paying these guys to do a job, and the job is not to play for 1 hour on Sundays. The job is to be a professional football player, and you don't get what you want from your employee by acting like a teenager week in and week out. If he had just shown up to camp this summer, he probably would have got what he wanted and maybe got a trade to Dallas. But now he's stuck here, and he just needs to put on his big boy pants and go to work.
Yeah, when Chris Carson runs for 1,000 yards a season or 1,200, right? This is what I've always said, that Marshawn started some of this whole cascade of events.
But do you need to put a stop to it, or does Pete Carroll operate in a way that's different from the rest of us?
This is a topic that just about anybody listening who works and has a job and works in a job environment, you can actually translate it to some of your job out there with any one of your coworkers, even your most talented coworker. Does he just get to call the shots and tell the boss when I'm going to show and when I'm not going to show?
Depends.
And when I'm going to practice.
How good they are
and
at their
I'm
job.
Not going to practice, in what meeting I'm going to go to, and what meeting I'm not going to go to. This is why Chris Peterson doesn't recruit 5 stars. Chris Peterson wants, like Scott Frost wants in Nebraska, give me the 3.5 star. Your whole talent conversation, give me 3.5, and I'll grow and develop them. And when push comes to shove, we're going to win. We're going to win because of the culture of what we have.
But the problem is, and this is why Earl's a little different. When he goes out there, he doesn't play like a prima donna. He doesn't play like a five-star guy who's just going to coast on his talent. He plays like a three-star who's still got a chip on his shoulder, man.
Stars? Is that another Joe question? Yeah, I'm really impressed with a lot of their stars. Let's just start there. Who do you got at the top of the list?
He doesn't play like that, though. That's the difference. Earl does not play like a prima donna, even if at the moment he's kind of acting like one, right? That's not been who he is. Let's grab one more call. How about Alex, who's in Seattle? Good morning, Alex, on line one.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
All right, let me start off by saying I'm the biggest Earl fan. I think he's the best free safety in the game, hands down, period. Now, that being said, I got two words for you. Cut him. Cut him because he set an example for the younger guys that you can walk in and out of the meeting room, in and out of practices, after you signed a deal to finish out the year, and now you're starting up all these games and getting in all these heads, and it's not good business. And at the end of the day, this is business. I don't show up to work to sell a car whenever I feel like it, and then tell them I'm not going to show up Monday through Wednesday because I don't feel like I'm making enough here, but I'll show up when my clients.
But what if you show up Monday through Wednesday and still sell more than everyone else in your building?
No.
What do you mean, no?
I'll get fired.
Maybe not. Are you sure?
Because I'm setting an example.
Alex, are you sure?
I'm sure.
I bet you're not. Honestly, I'm not joking. Like, I don't know that you get fired. You're probably not going to find out because you don't have as much confidence or as much to lose or as much to gain as Earl does here. But I don't know whether you get fired. Hey, look, man, I'm going to make my numbers every single month, but I don't want to be here. I know people who work part-time jobs. But
those are great for independent contractors. For those who everybody else relies on them and leans into them and has to have them there in the culture of your... If you're an independent contractor, that is fine. That is great. And I just got done talking to a company about that and how they navigate all of that. Isn't it different when you're a group of 50 guys that all have to rely on one another? Isn't it a little different when you got to go and I got to do my job and make sure you do your job?
I agree with you, but boy, they sure seemed like they couldn't rely on Earl this weekend. Like, they didn't even know what to do in the secondary. They were lost.
Yep.
They couldn't even commute. Oh, wait a minute. None of that's true. They look great. And Earl came up with two picks in the game. Three so far in the year. So, like, look, all those arguments make sense in theory, but in practice, they don't seem to have much of a problem.
And you don't think the question you have to ask is Tedrick not making all three of those plays?
I don't know.
Is Tedrick not Case Keenum stares him down on a middle seam, he catches it.
How many
two balls get bounced in the air, one off a foot, one off Bobby? He doesn't make those plays.
How many picks does Tedrick have this year?
Zero.
How many does Earl have this year?
He's got three.
The numbers are right in front of you, Brock. You don't need to go any farther than that. Tell you what, we get to ask Pete Carroll. He's the one who's actually in charge of making these decisions. We'll ask him about them next. Don't go anywhere. It's Brock and Salk.
Pay that man his money.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
All right, waiting on Pete Carroll, who should be with us here any moment. The Pete Carroll Show will get going here on Brock and Salk, as it does every Monday following a game around 9:30. And obviously a lot to talk about with Pete. It was a good week. It's a good week for the Seahawks. They needed to get themselves into the win column, and they get that done. It was a bizarre week in the NFL, for sure. You got major injuries. Jimmy Garoppolo done for the year. Just came out. Richard Sherman's going to miss a couple of weeks with another lower leg injury. You had a Minnesota team that looked like they were going to be a dominant force, and all of a sudden they get destroyed by what looked to be a bad Buffalo team. So it's just one of those weeks in the NFL. Let's talk about it with the coach.
Get with these guys now. Coach them up. Keep them going.
The Pete Carroll Show. The first word from the Seahawks head coach every Monday at 9:30 with Brock and Salk.
That's exactly what you want.
Presented by Banner Bank, VenueKings.com, and Les Schwab Tires on 710 ESPN Seattle.
All right, here he is. Coach Carroll joins us as he does the day following each game. Coach, good morning.
What's up?
Nice getting the win column.
Oh, boy. That was fun, huh? What a nice day at the link for everybody. Fans, you know, family, players, coaches. Yeah, it was a great day.
How about just the way it started off with Cam Chancellor raising the 12th man flag?
Hey, I sent him a note last night. I've watched a lot of those, you know, ceremonies, you know, of the flag raising and all that. That one got me, man. That hit me right in the heart. I was emotional. I'm glad nobody saw it. I was all choked up about it, you know. And just such a relationship with such a great kid and a great player. It was not the player, it's really him, you know. And he's up there going, giving everything he got, just like he always does. It was a beautiful thing.
I wonder how bittersweet that was for him. I mean, obviously he's excited to be honored and get everybody psyched up, but I mean, he should still be out there playing. He's still in the prime of his life to be out there playing.
Yeah, and he's having to deal with that, and he's dealing with it really well, and he's got a great, you know, great partner, and they're figuring it out. But it's really hard on a guy that's, I mean, he's the real deal. You know, he's missing out.
And that was your formula for success, 55 last night.
Hit it. Yeah,
39
hit
runs,
it,
16 completions, you get to 55, and that's about your sweet spot, isn't it?
Yeah, throw some numbers at that one. I don't know if the people listening understand that, what you're talking about, completions and rushing attempts. When it's over 50, you win. And when we don't turn the ball over on offense, we win. When we get three turnovers, we win. And it was just all of the things that we talk about third down so much, about how the continuity allows us to keep playing. We were terrific on defense. We were terrific on offense when we needed to be. And all of that is what we're shooting for, you know. And I don't think it was a question that all had to happen for us to have a good game. That's what we're all about. It's the formula. It's what we're shooting for. When we get close to those numbers, we're going to have a successful game. And yesterday was a really good ball game for us.
And as you looked at all the tape, and you judge it just from the tape standpoint, why and how did it get to those numbers in particular yesterday?
Well, the commitment to running the football and really came through. And I thought Brian did a great job. He really, you know, we really were. We hadn't gotten there yet in the first 2 weeks, and it was unfortunate that we weren't quite on it. And this is the kind of style that we know that we've won with for so long, and this is just winning football. You take it back to Vince or any of the old style dudes, you know. Take it back to Marty Ball, which Brian and I were laughing about, you know. That's how you win football games over a long haul, and you can be consistent. We've always shot for that, but we remember the last couple of years the running game just was banged up, and it was hard to stay committed to it when the way it was. We're not there now. We got healthy guys. We can go for it. Our guys up front are physical and tough. You could see how hard they played and aggressive. That's the formula. And sometimes it doesn't look real pretty and it's not real flashy and all that, but if you wait it out and find your game, the game comes to you. And that's really what happened, and it was a really good illustration for anybody that cares. That's what it's supposed to look like.
What was last week like for Brian Schottenheimer?
He's a stud. He's a real pro. He's great. We've been working together shoulder to shoulder the whole time, and we're both for anybody who wants to try to blame somebody, you blame me. I'm the one that's in charge of this deal, and I got to communicate properly. I got to get the word across to our guys and get it clear so they're all on the same page. It just took us a little bit, and Shoddy has run the football a ton in his history. We just didn't balance it out properly, and this allowed us to see it. The good thing was we didn't run the ball that well. We didn't have to. We were committed to it, and then things fit off it. So when we run, you run a whole day, and you're averaging 3-something, you know, 3-2 or 4, whatever the heck it was, and you can see how it fits, that's when you know you have something. So we just got to stick with it and be patient as we play the game and let it come to us and count on our defense and count on the kicking game. We backed them up a number of times yesterday, and we held them down there and converted on third downs for the defense. That set up a lot of stuff that allowed us to find our game. So it was good, really good. We started, you know, season started. Unfortunately, we had to lose a couple to get going, but here we go.
It almost feels like that position, that coordinator, offensively at times, you're like, man, that may not be the ideal versus the numbers. Like, if we throw a pass here, the numbers are even better. But you know what? I don't care that it's ideal. We've just got to commit to doing it because the benefits over the long term kind of complete the whole loop.
Yeah, and it allows a lot of guys to play the way they want to play. We're talking about all those guys up front, Dwayne and Fluke and when Britt's in there and Sweeze and Fetty. These guys get to play ball. And using Will Disley, we went out and made such a big deal by getting the blocking tight end. Well, let's let him block, you know. And those guys get to play the game too, and they have their effect on the game. What was also really good yesterday was Russell. Russell did a fantastic job of managing this game. He really game managed, and he controlled the tempo. He was able to utilize all the stuff that we have from counts and cadences and shifts and all the stuff that we were doing to try to control the game, and he factored in beautifully. And it didn't look like a flashy game for him, but it didn't have to be. He led the charge, and it worked out great. And that's a connection between he and Brian, because they're talking through that whole thing. They're absolutely going back and forth on how they're doing it. It's a beautiful thing to listen to. They did a great job of it.
You mentioned that yesterday. You said the little things that Russ did, and I assume that's some of the list you just gave of all of those. Can you give us an example of a time where specifically affected
the
game?
Remember they had to call timeouts a couple times. They called timeouts because they weren't ready for us, for our tempo. And Russ had taken the tempo to him. The touchdown pass to JB, you know, he'd taken the tempo to him and caught him where they just weren't quite sharp on that play. There was no pass rush if you looked at it. And he sat back, took a good look, could offset the safety and throw the seam out for the touchdown. It was gorgeous football right there. And it was exactly orchestrated and precisely, you know, called upon. And it worked out great. Stuff we've been practicing. We're ready for it, and we just need to keep going. We're just getting started. You know, this is just the beginning, so it's exciting for us.
Coach, what's going on with Earl?
He had a great game, didn't he? He played his butt off, man. Oh, it was a blast to see him playing. He had so much fun yesterday. In the first 3 weeks, he has had, and we've laughed about it, he's had more opportunities than you can add up in a couple years at times, not just in the interceptions, but in his pressures when he's come off the edge. You know, we brought him a couple times. He's never been so free on his pressures before, and he's run a lot of them over the years. He's seeing things. He's making hits. Now, he still can clean up a lot of ball, too. I mean, you know, just like everybody can always do better, but it's just kind of comical in a sense that, you know, all of these conversations, you want all these questions answered and all that, he's playing like crazy. He's trying to figure out where it all fits, and we're trying to help him, and we're working on it. And so,
can you let a player not practice because he doesn't want to?
Well, there's always consequences now, you know. So, there you have it.
I guess I don't know that I feel like I have it. So there are essentially, I'm just trying to understand it, because as a manager, essentially you're being thrust into the role of manager in this case, not just football coach, not just how do I X and O this. There's a management element to it of how do I manage a guy who's saying publicly, I don't want to practice.
So ask me how am I managing it?
You're going to say pretty well. I know how this goes. You've tricked me with this before. How are you managing it, Coach?
Really well.
Yeah, I figured we're going to just manage this really well. Yeah,
really well.
I've stumbled into that one.
Yeah,
before.
It's a unique situation.
And
with a guy with really sincere concerns about his future, and I totally respect that, and we'll continue to respect that and work at it, what is best and how things can come together for all of the right reasons. We love the way he plays and the person that he is and the contributor that he's been over the years. There's no slighting of that. He's awesome, and he's shown it, which I think is so comical that he's being so effective and he's having a freaking blast playing, you know. And so there's two sides here, and we're just working it out. I mean, there's the business side and there's the ball side, and we're trying to figure it out what's best. It's ongoing and really sincerely ongoing. And I want what's best for Earl, you know. And we're trying to figure that out and how to work this out. So, and of course we want what's best for the club. And so we're managing it.
Is there much conversation? Like over the course of the week, do you and he spend time talking about it, or is it just say we all understand the situation we're in?
Yes. No. Both. We're just working, you know. So I don't have anything to share with you guys. Really, I don't, and I'm sorry. You just got to have to watch what goes on, and we'll work our way through it. What's really good is that everybody cares, and everybody is working to communicate and all of that. And so it's an ongoing story, and it isn't all happening right now. It's not all right this moment. It takes some time, and there's a lot of issues and concerns. It's a big team here. You know, there's a lot of guys and stuff, and we have to figure things out.
Can you imagine how fascinating it would be if you were actually on our side talking about this, like watching all of this unfold from our perspective?
I don't think it's that fascinating.
It's fascinating.
It's with him, it's especially fascinating because he's unique.
He's a unique
character.
He is so unique. He really is. He's one of a kind, and he's a beautiful spirit and all that. And we're just working through it.
I mean, he says yesterday that he's not going to practice, but then he says, don't take that the wrong way. Like, what other – can play that, Kyle. Do we play me that guy? It's bizarre. No one talks like this. We have that, Kyle?
Yeah, I need to make sure my body is, you know, 100. And I'm investing myself. Now, if they was investing in me, I would be out there practicing. But if I feel like anything, I don't give a damn if it's small. I got a headache. I'm not practicing. But I don't want that to be taken the wrong way. I know I'm going to get fined. But that's just where I'm at with that.
So he's just willing to accept the fines and take it the wrong way.
Well, it's a work in progress.
It's a work in progress. How about your defense? They played pretty well yesterday.
Yeah, did a really good job. We didn't contain all of the runs like we wanted to. We let a couple out. We missed a couple tackles and stuff. But all in all, that we were effective rushing the passer and that we got to him and he wasn't as sharp and, you know, his QB rating was nothing. So we were effective in the passing game. And again, we covered well, you know, and we're doing a nice job. I got to hand it to, it seems like Bradley McDougal just keeps showing up, man. He's all over the field. He's doing a really good job. And the way we're playing him now and really in the dime package has just made us better. Tedrick on the field, and we get to move Earl to a number of different spots, and he gets to fit into some different coverage responsibilities, and it's just all good stuff. And the pressure package is nice too. I think we're still finding our rhythms with the guys up front. You know, the combinations of guys. Clint is using all kinds of different numbers of guys rushing, so we'll see how we do there. But all in all, it's playing out really well. And I thought Kenny called a good game as far as the pressure. You know, I thought he did a really nice job.
That's what I wanted to ask you about, because his name has gone largely unspoken, at least in the media. He seems like he's called three really good games. Has had a really good feel for when to dial things up.
I think so too, and I'm really fired up for him. And you know, he's just so darn competitive, and he's such a good voice for our guys and all. And they're responding well and playing hard and playing tough.
You referenced the takeaways earlier. As you've looked at them, is there anything that stands out as far as why 8 takeaways in 3 games to begin this year when it was felt like so hard to get some of those balls?
Well, I'm so fired up about that. I can't tell you how fired up I am. Like the ball coming to us. The guys are making the plays or hawking the football. You know, they're coming up with tips and they're coming up with the cutting in fronts. And all, I mean, there's all kinds of things, all combinations of it. Knocking the ball out was a beautiful play, you know, by Bradley. We take such pride in trying to punch that football out. In such a critical situation too, so it's a great thing. And it has always seemed to fit off of pass pressure, you know, pass rush pressure, and I think that's all connected pretty well right now.
Is there anything to be said that there's maybe no Cam, there's no Richard, and I can take a little more risk? Is there anything to be said that any of these teams
that
are
the
actually
other quarterbacks?
Yeah, that the other team is taking some rest that over the last few years, like, nope, I'm not taking it. I'll check it down. Is there anything to be said that maybe because of some of the unknown or the lack of respect?
You know, you got to value reputation. You know, if they know you're out there, you know, if you know that guy's over there, then you're going to kind of stay away from him. Well, some of that may be different, but I don't know. That's a very subjective factor. I wouldn't know how to value that.
How about Bobby being back in the middle?
Yeah, he did well. It was all over the place. Strong tackling again. Made some good plays. And there's some plays out there for him, too. You know, there's a couple of fits we didn't hit just right. As always, there's stuff. But he's an incredible part of this team. And we need him out there. And he factors into everybody. You know, he helps everybody play well.
We saw a lot of Chris Carson in this game of 30 carries or whatever it was. What's he like on the sidelines and throughout the game?
He's as quiet as you can possibly be. He didn't say a word. He's just a quiet person. He's tough as nails, you know, and you can see he had a lot of tough runs yesterday. He worked hard to get 100 yards now, you know, 30-something carries to get 100. That was a tough day. But he demonstrated his consistent toughness throughout the game. His best run of the day was the last one for the first down. That was a great play. And Russ is out there trying to chip away and all that. But Chris made a great effort to make that first down. But I think it was classic to see a guy play a whole game. He was tired early again, I'll tell you that. I looked at him in the first quarter, about 4 or 5 carries into it. And I said, oh, my goodness, he's gassed again. And I said, well, I'm not going with it this time. I just said, screw it. You know, he's fine. And he got stronger as the game went on. After a while, he could have run the ball night long. It didn't even matter. So the early reaction to the game, the start of the game and all that, he was trying to get off the punt team at one point, you know, and he's just trying to, you know, get to his second wind, I think, and he certainly did. And so we were able to kind of ride him a little bit yesterday. And, you know, I don't think it's not always going to be a 30-carry game. We're not going to do that with him all the time. But this day, it just seemed like it fit. It was kind of a classic thought of when you're feeling the guy and you're riding him, you go with him, you know. But in other games, you know, 20 carries and share some other ones, and we'll keep everybody fresh and strong. And so we'll see what happens.
Who makes a decision of offense or defense running out the tunnel? Do you know, is that made
introductions?
Before? Yeah, for introductions.
Matt Kuperil. You can put it on Kuperil, yeah.
Is there any concern yesterday you had when Fluker came running out? I mean, the hamstring's been sore. That dude has so much
it's
juice.
It's a long run for him.
That's the longest run you ever see him make. He never runs that far.
As I was watching him run, I was like, I hope he can.
Okay, you picked up that, but I picked up Dwayne Brown. Dwayne Brown looked like he was roaring.
Well, but he's athletic in a different way.
I guess.
I saw Joey Hunt run out there at 5'3", and then I saw Fluker come out there at 400 pounds. It was a very interesting juxtaposition.
You're a little overstating those, but I didn't think anything was more impressive than Dwayne. I had to comment to him. You know, he looked like he was rolling.
How about Fluker?
You mentioned
just his spirit. I've found watching practice and training camp, just traveling with you guys, just his spirit.
He's one of a kind now. He's special. And you can't fit enough of that into a game when you're sitting on the sidelines and you're not dressed. You put him in a uniform and let him be part of it and see him, you know, respond to the touchdowns and the big plays. But he's more than that. He loves the game. He loves to play ball, and he loves to play tough and physical and grind it out in the dirt and the clawing and the scratching. That's just this guy. And when you 350, you know, and you're like that, it makes a difference. You got to watch him to appreciate a couple of his finish blocks. Man, he buried some guys late on plays, you know, and just giving a complete effort. It was really special to have that.
I thought I saw a boat out on the field. It turned out it was just his shoe, which had come off during the game. But I thought it was like an arc that they had built.
You know,
out
we
there.
Got he couldn't get his shoe on fast enough, and he had to go with it half
I
off. You
that.
Know, and we got stuffed on the play. Well, no wonder, you know.
So he's yelling to the side. Is he yelling like I need to come off because of the boot? And they just said, no, just stay out there.
That's exactly what happened.
Who's in charge of telling him to stay out there?
I don't know. It must have been Solari yelling. I don't know.
You try to tie a sweaty size 22.
No chance. Right? And he's wearing big gloves and stuff.
He can't
like
bend down there to do it either, you know. Nope. He needs a shoehorn.
A shoehorn. Who would have ever thought you need to carry a shoehorn on the side of a line sideline like that? In the meantime, Joey Hunt, I mean,
great job. Yeah, he did a great job. Came through in great fashion. Drew the foul right at halftime. It was great, like in the NBA, you know. Drew the foul and we get the field goal, you know. And Seabass would have knocked it in anyway.
62.
Yeah, he'd have knocked it in anyway. Okay. But made it a little easier on him, so it was good. Yeah.
I was kind of excited to see 62. I'm not going to lie. Like, I would have liked to have seen him kick from 62.
He can kick it that far.
I believe it.
Yeah, he can do it. He can hit it that
far. What is he like? He seems like a very different kind of a football character.
Yeah, you guys should get him on. He doesn't want to talk on the radio. He didn't want to get interviewed. He didn't want to talk to anybody. He just doesn't want to do it. But he's an interesting guy. And he's an old soul. You know, he's an old soul, and he's a lot of fun.
Hey, could you hear Doug yelling by any chance? I don't know.
I looked over my shoulder. I went, oh, good. At least he's competing, you know. I didn't know what he was competing at, but he was going, you know. And then sure enough, it gets on the airways and all the rest and whatever.
Was he like that a lot?
Huh?
Is he like that a lot?
No. You know, matter of fact, he hasn't been like that. And I did hear the part of the broadcast where one of the guys said, hey, he's a lot of anger there. And I was going, no kidding, man. That's angry Doug coming back at us.
Hey,
he's just trying to find a way to do something, you know. And so it just kind of got ill-directed, you know.
All right, speaking of anger, we got to ask you about something that happened a long time ago. And Kyle Brown, our producer, you've met Kyle before,
sure.
I think. This is embarrassing for everyone. But Kyle admitted something to us last week on Friday that we had never heard in all of the years.
We've known Kyle for 10
since
years.
Since 2009, yeah. We've known Kyle. But it turns out in 2008, Kyle, let me make sure I get this right. You were the coach at USC. You went up to Wazoo and just destroyed them.
I mean, do you remember that game at all?
I remember killing Wazoo.
Taking a knee at halftime?
Yes. So as you're running off the field at the end of halftime, it turns out you got into a conversation with an enraged fan on the Wazoo tunnel. Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember the enraged fan. I don't.
Who
remember
was
that.
Mad at you for taking a knee? Because
I had said, "Please kick the field goal, take the points. This is embarrassing." Pete, you sarcastically replied, 3 points, we could have had 6, which was accurate.
And then what, Kyle?
And then what did you do, Kyle? You yelled more at him and said he was embarrassing.
I mean, that was the lowest of low points in WSU football history. They were in victory formation in the second quarter. Some thought it was out of respect. I took it as disrespect.
Well, I like that, Kyle. I'm really glad to hear that now. I mean, I love that you felt that way. I did not mean it in disrespect. I did not mean it that way. I didn't know what else to do. That was terrible. God, I didn't know what to do. So we just let's take a knee.
It's
screw
a good
it.
Problem
let's get
to
out
have,
of here.
Right? I mean, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, but it was just, I didn't know. Anyway. Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for bringing that up. After the Trojans beat Wazoo this weekend, too.
Sure,
I like
they
that.
They sure did, man. Yeah. It was a heck of a
barely.
Game.
It sounded like a great game.
Well, you said at the end yesterday you just don't like boring. It's just not going to be boring, right?
No, we kind of like it. Dave and I were talking about coming down here. A little bit of drama is good. You know, we have no problem with that.
Do you thrive in it a little bit, a little chaos around?
Well, I'm pretty comfortable in it. Maybe I don't know if that's thriving, but I'm used to it for sure, you know. After all those years at SC, there was always stuff going on. There was, you know, are you trying too hard? Are you trying, you know, just like you're talking about this. You know, there's always things that were happening. And in L.A. with the media and all that, I don't know, just feels comfortable.
Hey, what'd you make a kind of a weird week in the NFL in general? I mean, Minnesota goes through the first few weeks, looks like they're going to be a Super Bowl kind of team. Buffalo looks lost, and then Buffalo just destroys them. We saw Green Bay get beat badly. Like, what do you see in the NFL when all of a sudden things just turn like
that? Well, I think you brought up the one that there's a great illustration of overtime and the impact of overtime in an emotional game. Minnesota and the Packers go at it, you know, toe-to-toe that whole night, and they both come out and get whacked. You know, that was so uncharacteristic of both those teams having a difficult time the next week. And we're just not used to seeing just a kind of a routine win over those teams. You know, those other teams, and Buffalo had struggled like crazy, and then they just put together. Wasn't it 17-0 in the first quarter or something like that? I don't have anything. I didn't see the games. I don't know anything about it. But I think the impact of overtime is what the statement is right there, and as well as a greatly, you know, heated emotional game, and then go to OT, and they went all the way through, and they tied the game. Is that what happened?
Yeah.
So they played the whole quarter. Yeah. So that's couldn't be more well illustrated. You know, and remember we had the thing with Arizona. We came back and lost in New Orleans. You know, and I don't remember the game so much, but. It's just fascinating that that happened. But it's early in the season. Everybody wants to call everything. Oh, are these guys going to win and everything? Are they going to be the Super Bowl team and all that kind of stuff? You don't know. You got to go play the games, you know, and that's what's fun about it. We got a long haul here.
A lot of work to be done as you get ready for Arizona. You may face a rookie quarterback making his first start.
Yeah, Sunday. Well, we've done that before, so whatever. We'll see what happens.
And enjoy being a manager.
Yeah, right,
because you're not just a coach, you're a manager.
How are you
going
to manage this, Coach? How are you going to manage this
really
this week?
Well?
Really, really well. I've learned that one in all these years of doing the Pete Carroll show.
I wish I didn't have to kind of draw it out of you. I wish you could have just laid it up. I like the layups.
No, I'm on to you. I'm not just making this easy. We're on to this one. Coach, we appreciate it.
Right,
good
guys.
To get a win. Nice to talk to you.
Yep.
We'll do it again next week.
See
we'll catch all you guys tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Until then, the hay
is in the barn.
See you, everybody.
Get to the chopper!